The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Brethren, we all need to realize without godly wisdom, we are as uninformed children. Because you see, brethren, those who listen to wisdom and those who keep her advice will be blessed with happiness and success. With that statement in mind, we need to ask this question. Do we, and you put your name there, do we care about our future? And I mean our future in this life and in the one that is coming. Go with me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 32. Proverbs 8 and verse 32. Now, therefore, hearken unto me, O you children, for blessed are they that keep my words. That's godly wisdom that is speaking there. And what we're seeing here in this one verse, we see this is a request for us as believers to consider a matter. In other words, to think about what wisdom is telling us. I mean, after all, our future prosperity depends on it. And prosperity here is not limited to money or wealth. And as we also can see from this verse, this is true no matter what our age. It doesn't make any difference how young or how old we are. I have entitled this message, you probably already figured it out, is Godly Wisdom. But then, when we see the word therefore in a sentence in the scriptures, we should ask the question, what is the therefore there for? Play on words. Well, in scripture, the word therefore is used to draw conclusions from what has already been written, and it is then our responsibility to find the connection. In this case, wisdom is summarizing our need for wisdom by the benefits that have already been listed. Now, we've not read any because we read way down in the chapter 8, verse 32 there. But it's saying, therefore, draw conclusions from the benefits that have already been listed. That's why the therefore is there. Here in chapter 8, Solomon, who wrote it, personified wisdom to get our attention through some what I would consider to be some creative and direct language. So, today I want us to take a look closely at this chapter 8 of Proverbs, looking for those benefits that the therefore told us that we are blessed by. So, what are the therefores that have been listed? So, we're going to take a look at these pretty much verse by verse. We're going to read this chapter. We're going to take a look at it, and we're going to draw some conclusions and have some, what are some of these benefits that wisdom tells us in this chapter that she's offering to us. Wisdom, first of all, introduces herself. Then she gives her purpose, and then she gives the value of wisdom. And we see this in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1 through 10. So join with me in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 1. Does not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? This word cry in the Hebrew is not the word that we might think about as weep. What this word is actually saying is shouts or proclaim or proclaiming. Verse 2, she. Now, let me stop and address this word she in talking about wisdom. What we need to understand, it is referring to wisdom. It is not calling wisdom a woman as we would tend to think in our reading it in the English language. It is a feminine word, like words in different languages are either masculine or feminine, such as in the Spanish or in the French or in Hebrew, not as it is in English. You read the word she or her, it's pretty much referring to a feminine person or animal or whatever. But it's not so much in many of the other languages, including Hebrew. Like, for example, I don't speak Spanish, and I don't know what the word is, but it's a good example. I know that guitar is something along the lines of la guitar. I mean, it's not, I don't know if it's the word guitar, but it's talking about it, and we would simply say the guitar. And that phrase in Spanish is feminine. But a guitar is not feminine. It's not a female. It's not a her. It's how it's referred to in different languages. Now, let's get away from that. So now when we read the word she, we understand it's a characteristic of the language, and it is true in the Hebrew. And it is picked up as such into the English. And there are people who have come to all kinds of conclusions as a result of that without simply looking at it and saying and seeing that it is a feminine word, and that's what it means because that's what it is in so many different languages. Okay, verse 2. She stands in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the pass. She cries, or she shouts, she proclaims at the gate. She proclaims, she shouts at the entry of the city. She proclaims, she shouts at the coming in at the doors. What we are seeing is that wisdom has nothing to hide. It's sort of like standing out there unbuttoning the coat and say, here I am. This is the way wisdom is presenting itself. It can be found, as we see from just these first three verses, that it can be found in the most prominent places if we will only accept it. Verse 4, unto you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. In other words, I'm crying out there. I'm giving you what you need to hear. I'm telling you what you need to hear. Are you going to listen? And it's a yes or no. Verse 5. Oh, you simple. Simple here would simply be referring to someone who is without all the knowledge and the understanding that they would need. It's like a child is born. They all are born as simpletons. We were all born as simpletons. But by design, God doesn't want us to remain there. And here, wisdom is saying, oh, you simple. What it is saying is you don't have this, you don't have all the knowledge and the understanding that you really need, that you need to have so that you can live the godly way of life. But it is available. Oh, you simple, understand wisdom. And you fools, be you of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things. This is those benefits that what I told you that she is going to be telling us. This is part of the therefore. What is that therefore? Hear, for I will speak of excellent things. And the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understands, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Now, we already start putting up defenses. We go, whoa, wait a minute. Gold is much more valuable than knowledge and understanding. That's a foolish statement. That's what wisdom has just stated. Because here in verse 10, what we are seeing is that it is much better for us to go after godly wisdom than to go after the things of this world. And knowledge is better than searching for gold. Now, here's where we've only gone 10 verses. And here's where people, many times people, put the brakes on. Because they start saying, this can't be true. I don't accept this as truth. And they have just stood up and said, look, everybody, I am a fool. That's what we're going to see. This is what this is saying. Is it wrong to have gold? No. Is it wrong to have silver? No. It's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of perspective. What it is basically chapter 8 is doing is telling, wisdom is telling us, the things of God are far much better than whatever it is the world can offer. Does it say all the things that are found in the world are wrong? No. We have to have gold. We have to have silver. That's talking about money. We have to have it to be able to live in the society in which we live. That's what it is saying. It's a comparison. That's what we can see clearly in the first 10 verses. In other words, what this is telling us is that things of the world are not to be even compared with the knowledge and the wisdom that are offered by God. She then lists many benefits of wisdom for both individuals and for nations. We see that in the next section in verse 11 through 21. So let's go there. Verse 11. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. There's nothing you can compare to it. That's what this is saying. Put up anything that you want to compare. Doesn't equal. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, to hate pride, and to hate arrogancy, and to hate the evil way. And the forward mouth do I hate. In other words, even speaking things that are contrary to what wisdom is telling us here, God hates that. Verse 11 through 13. These verses show us that if we have pride, it should be pride in the fact that we are His, that we belong to God, and we are not our own. Now, hold your place here. Put a marker here in Proverbs chapter 8, and go with me now to Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 24. We're going to read the one verse, but we're going to make some comments. Jeremiah 9 and verse 24. But let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. I mean, after all, we are either children of light, following after God and godly wisdom, or we are children of darkness, and we're following after Satan and his ways. We must, and I know a lot of, there have been times over the years, there have been many people in the Church of God have kind of reared up and said, what do you mean I must do such and such? Okay. I'm using the word, we must. And yeah, it could flare up some people, but I'm using the word with intention, even calling attention to it. We must hate evil to please God. And we must turn from evil the appearance. We must turn even from the appearance of evil and pleasing God. Now, over the years, there have been some policies to the ministry that some people have not understood. In fact, we had it in one of our news programs. We didn't, but we've in our news here not too long ago, when the Vice President of the United States, he's not writing all that he says, but he made this statement, and he said, I am not going to find myself alone with the woman. That's a godly principle. It avoids the appearance of evil. We are to avoid that. Is there wrong? Is there anything wrong in it by itself for a man to be with a woman by her, you know, the two of them alone? No. But it can avoid the appearance of evil by not doing so. That's why over the years the church has always, always, always had the policy of a man must go and visit a woman. He must have somebody accompany him. Primarily, hopefully, it would be the wife, and she's not available, then he would take some other man with him. Have there been times when the ministry has not followed that? Yes. Have there been times when they have not followed that and gotten themselves in trouble? Yes. We are to even avoid the appearance of evil. That is a major point with God. I go back and make the statement, we are to hate evil to please God. Even the appearance of evil to show that we love God. Pride and arrogance are the opposite of being humble, and God loves the humble. The evil way, we've read that in Scripture, is the way of the devil. It is also in the context and a comparison, it is the ways of the world. Is everything in the world evil? No. Everything in the world is eating off of still the wrong tree, but there is a good side and an evil side of the wrong tree. And there are some good things in the world, but it's still the wrong tree. It's just eating on the better side of the wrong tree. But evil, the evil way is the way of the devil. That's the point. And the forward mouth that's mentioned here comes from an evil heart and speaks ungodly things. And that should never happen with believers. It should never come out of our mouths. Wisdom hates what God hates. And a question that I think that we need to ask is, do we? Or to put it on a more personal basis, do I hate what God hates? If we would hate it, then we would not be involved in it. And that is what he's getting at. He wants us to look at it in that way. I also want us to understand that the highest value is humility. By humility, I am meaning submissive to God. And therefore, as a result of that, wisdom hates pride and self-exaltation above all things. That's what we just read that in Jeremiah. Now, go back with me to Proverbs chapter 8, and we'll continue on in verse 14. Proverbs 8:14, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Now we have to understand that he's talking about it, those who are doing things God's way. Because whenever a judge hands down a decree that's against the principles of God, is that wisdom? Is that godly wisdom? Of course not. So you have to understand. Remember, I told you this is a broad comparison of things of the world that be evil, things of God they be good. That's what's being presented in this chapter 8. And so this is what we're seeing. Let's go on. Verse 17. I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. Okay, hold your place there and go to James 1 in verse 5. James 1 in verse 5. Or I can just read it to you. James 1 in verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and without reproach. He doesn't hold back. And it will be given him. We ask for it. Wisdom is that hard. How do you get wisdom? You continue to live the right way of life over and over and over, and it becomes part of our who and what we are, our nature, our being. We are this way. And the way it starts is we ask Him for it, and He gives it. He gives it. And that's the thing that is really hard for people to understand. But we have to be living the godly way of life, because He's not going to give it to somebody who's a fool until they've come to the place of a repentance there. So go back with me to Proverbs 8 and verse 19. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit, meaning what is produced, the benefits that are produced through having godly wisdom, that's what he's saying, is better than gold. Yes, it's better than fine gold. And my revenue is better than choice silver. Doesn't have the word, I read words into it, but it's the gist of it. Verse 20, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. That's stuff. More of this gold, more of this silver, more of those things that we would want to have. So I ask you, I said earlier, is it wrong to have it? No. It's which one are we putting first? And it says, when you do these things, and this is what it says, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Then after that, wisdom describes how God used wisdom in the creation of the world. We see that in Proverbs 8, verse 22 through verse 31. So let's start there in verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. Now, what we're going to read through these verses are very clear if you stop and think about it. Because remember, this is a personification of something that isn't tangible. But it is describing God. The ways, the right ways of God. This is what He used. He used wisdom, which is a good, 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 obviously, thing. And this is what it is saying here. It puts words to it. Verse 23. I was set up from everlasting from the beginning, or ever the earth was. I was there before that. God has always had wisdom. He is wisdom. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet He, God, had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the high parts of the dust of the world. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the deep. When He established the clouds above. When He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree that the water should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by Him as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the habitable part of His earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Wisdom has always been part of who and what God is. And this is what is out of wisdom that He did this. And you have to remember, He is offering this godly wisdom to us. And then finally, she summarized her appeal with what I would call a convincing conclusion, and that's verses 32 through 36. And so we began in 32, which is what we read at the beginning. Now, therefore, why is the therefore therefore? Because it's telling us to pay attention to all that's already been said, and we have the responsibility to see the connection. And he's trying to draw a connection here. Therefore, hearken unto me, O you children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso finds me finds life. Is there implied indication that if we don't find me being godly wisdom, there is not really life? And the answer is yes, that is what is being referred. And shall obtain favor with the Lord. Verse 36. But, or however, he that sins against me wrongs his own soul. And listen to this. This is how he concludes it. All that hate me, all that hate godly wisdom, which is a representation of all that God is, loves death. That's pretty strong. That's pretty strong. If we're not desiring, if we're not really going after godly wisdom as part and partial of who we are, the Bible is saying, then you hate me, and therefore you love death. So, brethren, I think we need to ask, how well do we hearken or listen to or go for godly wisdom? Let me kind of give you some bullets here that I think are pretty interesting in a way you can put them in a lot of different ways. The first bullet I have is, well, some sit quietly and words go in one ear or in the eye and goes out the other. Another one is some love to daydream or doze. They just never get it. They're always not really paying attention. Some leave a book, the book could be the Bible, without learning a thing. And as a result, their lives never improve. Some others strain for every word, and they go away considering it seriously. And hopefully, this is the one that describes us. It's the only one that we would really, if you think about it and you look at it, would really want to be describing us. Again, here's a question. Does it? Does it? Hopefully it does. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs 2 and verse 1. Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom. This phrase has the sense of, it doesn't say this, but it has the sense of, and we would understand, somebody's saying something and you really want to hear it, and you might do this. You know, something like this. Big ears. That's the sense of this word. If you will incline your ear, in other words, you will make your ears as big as they possibly can so that you can hear what is being stated. If you will incline your ears unto wisdom, and then you apply your heart to understanding, yea, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then, not until, but then shall you understand the fear of the Lord. And then will you have and find the knowledge of God. Because the Lord gives wisdom. James 1 and verse 5. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserves the ways for his saints. Then shall you understand righteousness, and then shall you understand judgment, and then shall you understand equity, yea, every good path. And it's all tied to having this godly wisdom. It's also tied to having a heart to really want to do that. because he's very plain. If that heart isn't leaning in that direction, these things don't happen. Go with me to Psalm 1, verse 1. Psalm 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. In other words, he's not going that way. He's going another way. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Acts 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. These are the Bereans. That's the context. And that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Daily they were searching in the word of God. They were looking for, going after knowledge and understanding of the holy. They were looking for godly wisdom, how to live this way of life. And 1 Thessalonians 5:21 tells us, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Do we do these things? Is this what this is telling us? Yeah. This is what we need to be doing. Please understand, brethren, hearing and thinking about some things means very little. That is, unless we change our life by what we hear in order for it to benefit us. And please also understand, to do this is very crucial in our lives as believers. Also, brethren, every proverb, I'm using the word by intent. I know what word I'm using. Every proverb, every sermonette, every Bible verse should affect our lives. Now, I know that on the part of the speaker, they have a responsibility to present truth and right knowledge and present understanding so that we can take it and use it in our lives. But all of this should affect our lives. Because when you really step and think, but the fact is, the Bible is the only inspired book of wisdom on earth. I don't know if there's an inspired book of wisdom in heaven. I know it is the only one on earth. I also know this, it is only those who obey its teachings will truly succeed. Please go with me to James chapter 1. James 1, in verse 21, James 1, 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. The engrafted word is, this is the word, and we are to digest this word so much that we ingest it, that it is within us. It is within us. It is within our mind, within our thinking, within our life. It is what leads us in every day. The engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That's what I said. Hearing something is not really what it's about. It's about, does it change our lives? And this is what this is telling us. Verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, if it's not really affecting and changing his life, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer, of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Or it isn't what he's doing. He's going to be successful in toward a godly way of life. I want you to go here with me to another place. Go with me to Matthew 7. You know this. But go there. Matthew 7, verse 21. Matthew 7, verse 21. We begin in verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. That's the one that's going to enter into the kingdom. That's what he's saying. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name did many wonderful works? Didn't we do all of these things in your name? And here comes to me some of the, I call it scary words, some of the scariest words in all of the Bible. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. These are people who believe, told God, they thought that they were doing exactly what he wanted them to do. And maybe they were doing stuff, but they were not living God's way of life. There is a difference. A lot of people can stand up here and present words. Does it affect their lives? Does it impact their lives? It's a yes or no. Are they living what they're speaking? Therefore, you're going to remember that therefore every time you read it now, aren't you? What is the therefore? Why is the therefore therefore? Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Whoa, huh, interesting. A man who has godly wisdom. That's another phrase that we could use there. Which built his house upon a rock. And of course, the rock is Jesus Christ. And the rain descended and the floods came and the waters blew and beat upon that house and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Because you see, brethren, God's wisdom only benefits those who keep it. You could have it available to you. If you're not living it, it does you no good. Psalm 19, verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Is there an indication here? Is it an inferred or an implied? If it's not keeping it, there's not the rewards? The answer is yes. Solomon is called, you know, the wisest man who ever lived. And, of course, we would go, not so fast. Jesus was obviously the wisest person who ever lived. I'm not being critical of Solomon. I'm just saying, you want to make comparisons. Jesus was the wisest man who ever lived. And he gave us some very interesting words for us to live by. With that in mind, go with me to these words of Jesus in Luke 8 and verse 18. Only verse here we're going to read. Luke 8, verse 18. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever has, to him shall be given. And whosoever has not, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have. That phrase, seems to have, means thinks he has. better in our words today, that he seems to have, or he thinks he has. So we need to ask, why did Jesus state, "Take heed therefore how you hear"? What is he actually referring to? He is essentially warning us, and the us here would have to be believers. He's not talking to the world, who obviously not trying to have godly wisdom, not trying to live godly way of life. There could be a lot of reasons why God hasn't called them. They've chosen not to. A lot of reasons, but not the point. But we state that we are believers. And he is essentially warning us that God will strongly judge those who reject his offer of wisdom, and he will take away what understanding that they think they have. And we're told in Scripture that he will even laugh at our calamities in life, if that's describing us. Jesus is going to laugh at us because we didn't choose godly wisdom. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 1. I didn't write it. I can read it. Proverbs chapter 1. This is in the beginning of the book of Proverbs. Chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom cries without. What does cry there mean? Shouts, proclaiming. She utters her voice in the street. She cries in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the Hebrew, if we literally translated the words directly out of the Hebrew, it would be at noisy, busy street corners. In other words, where all kinds of life is being lived and going on. This is where wisdom is crying out. This is what it is saying. She utters her words, saying, "How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity?" Do you read here already that there are choices and people are making the wrong choices? That's loud, what is being stated. And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded it. But you have said it not all my counsel. You have said, that's nothing to it. And would none of my reproof. Then notice verse 26. I also will laugh at your calamities. I will mock when your fear comes. Strong indication that he is saying, your fear is going to come because you don't have what I am offering you because you have rejected it. When your fear comes as desolation, and there's an implied, and it will come, and your destructions as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall you call upon me. But I will not answer. You were offered the very best of God, and you didn't accept it. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord when it was offered to them. The guy down the street doesn't have this available to him right now. Who is this referring to? People who have had it available to them. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Verse 32. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, but the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Major, 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 major warning. I'm going to put to the church of God. These are fools, and they love death. Proverbs 8, verse 36, we read it earlier. But he that sins against me wrongs his own soul. All they that hate me love death. All they that hate godly wisdom that he tells us over and over in so many places. Here, I'm offering this to you. I'm offering it. Will you take it? Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, I'm not making fun. I'm just saying he offers it to us, but these are people who are saying, "Yeah, I'd rather die." Jesus warned us of three primary dangers to learning wisdom. One, when we do not pray or prepare, or concentrate, or renew, or review what is being taught. Talk about out of the book called the Holy Bible. The second one, when we are too fearful and too weak to stand against others who are bringing persecution and resistance to the holy right way of life. In other words, you say, no, you can't take off work. No, you can't go to you can't go away to the feast. You're in school and you're gonna fail out in college if you do these things. I've heard all of those words. I know they tell us that. And you have to say, well, I'm going anyway. You gotta do what you gotta do, and I'm gonna do what I'm gonna do. I just came in to let you know I'm not gonna be here for the next so many days, because I'm going to God's Feast of Tabernacles. And I'll come back when I'm done, you know, when it's over, and I'll come back and I'll be ready to, you know, classes. You got to do what you got to do. Third, when we are too infatuated or obsessed or in love with the world's illusions. And as a result, therefore, its cares choke out our progress in our lives. It causes us to choose death. Wow. Wow. Go with me, if you would, to the book of Luke 8, verse 11. Luke 8, verse 11. Now the parable is this. This parable is the parable of the sower. I'm just getting into the interpretation of it. This is what Jesus is doing. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are those that hear. Then comes the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. In other words, they allow it to happen. In verse 13, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, they receive the word with joy. They're excited about it. Yet they have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, they fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard it, they go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Therefore, we need to consider how attentive and how eagerly we have been pursuing after godly wisdom. Now, what I mean by this is, do we really desire and do we pursue after godly wisdom that is being offered to us? And brethren, if we can answer yes to that question, and I would hope that every one of us who are hearing this, challenged by this, can answer yes to that question, then consider this. What is being offered to us? It's in Scripture. It's in Proverbs. It's chapter 1, verse 33. But whoso hearkens unto me, remember this is godly wisdom that is speaking personified, those who hearken unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Is this implying and saying that no evil is going to come upon them? Yeah, that's what it's implying. They're going to be safe. They're not going to be touched by the evil ways, because how did Jesus walk around and not be affected by all of this? Godly wisdom. We can summarize in a lot of other words, but I'm doing it in this context of this particular sermon. And brethren, if any of us want to know if we do have godly wisdom, then he gives us 8 traits for us to look at ourselves and to see, do we have these? It's in James chapter 3. And I'm going to conclude with this. James 3, verse 17. One verse, James 3, 17. But the wisdom that is from above, this is godly wisdom, is first pure. That's one. And teachable, two. 3, gentle. 4, easy to be entreated. 5, full of mercy. 6, and full of good fruit. 7, and is without partiality. And 8, without hypocrisy. It's saying if we have godly wisdom that's offered to us, these are going to be there. That is what we want to have as part of our life as a believer. And it comes through having godly wisdom. The Aaronic blessing. And we are so blessed. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless you all. Happy Sabbath.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.